Ready for the mosh pit, Shaka Bra.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to StrangeCast, Player One vs. Life is Strange podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Adnan. My co-host Adam is here. Adam, you're here.
I'm here. I know my famous stride is just like coming in strong, but you know, I'm present at this time.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, because doing I'm your host, Adnan, the last episode was very weird, because even with Kylie, I was like, I can't mess this up, because like, it just feels really weird. I'm also celebrating. I'm like, I am your host, Adnan.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have Kylie here supplementing the guest. But like, as some of you will need to know as well, we're recording this in advance because Adam's taking a break into December. We're actually recording November 30th. So we've changed StrangeCast for the month of December, as you've probably seen with the Kylie episode. It's just basically...
But man, Adnan, like, since this is like in the future, can we talk about that crazy thing that happened at the Game Awards where they actually revealed the game? Oh my God. I can't believe Luke and Michelle and Raul came all like holding hands and just saying that, like, wow, that's crazy, isn't it? And they all did backflips together talking about, like, hey, by the way, we're taking back the Life is Strange license. That was crazy.
Well, I was going to ask you that during the show. So we're going to get your forward prediction, because obviously, as I said, this will come out the end of yeah, because
no, we already saw it. It's in the future now.
Yeah, well,
nothing we can do. No, it's currently November 30th. I don't have a newspaper to prove it, but yeah. just believe us.
But yeah, we're recording in advance. There's no like news segments in between this. I don't know if they're going to be appearing on the YouTube channel. It's kind of like you'll see from the Kylie episode. We're just recording as we go. And just for context as well, I messed something up in the Kylie episode. If I want to reveal it here. Me and Kylie are talking about Gen Z and millennial differences, and I show her the heart of Gen Z. I said it was this, which it's not. I got the wrong fingers.
Oh, no, Adnan.
So, yeah,
no.
I got all the other stuff. I think I got all the other stuff right, like the pictures and stuff. I said this was the heart, which is not, because obviously ours is this, if you're watching on the video version. It's the millennial one. But this is the Gen Z heart.
Yes. You were
wrong
close.
Wrong fingers. But I'm just going to kind of put this out there. I was watching it. I was going to do this as a preview clip. And I was like, and I just screwed up the Gen Z heart. Well, Kylie did correct me because she's Gen Z, and I was like, you know,
is Gen Z, isn't she?
Well, because we were talking about this kind of concept on the episode about her potentially being a zillennial.
Yeah, because she's 25.
Yeah, so she's a 98 baby.
I think she's a zillennial because I think Gen Z starts on 97, isn't it?
Yes. But yeah. Technically, in U.S. consumer base, they say that a zillennial is anywhere from 1990 to 2000. Well, I'm like, I'm like a 93 baby. I'm not Gen Z. I'm like, for me, no. It is like 97, I think, and beyond, where it's like you can start a zillennial term, if anything. But no, I'm not. I'm full-blooded millennial, if anything. But anyway, before we kind of continue the conversation anyway, this is welcome to the show. If you are new here, please do consider dropping a subscribe on the channel, turn notifications, like the video, and share with your friends. Helps support the channel, helps keep up to date with the channel more than anything else. And StrangeCast is available on all podcast services, so please do check us out on Spotify with the video version, Apple Podcasts, we're on all those services. And drop us a rating as well. Thank you to everyone who's rated us on Spotify and also on Apple Music, Apple Podcasts. If you are listening via Apple, please do rate us. It helps support the podcast because we've not got as many ratings compared to Spotify. But yeah, as I said, I hope everyone enjoys the Kylie interview. Like, you know, I will be my current self will be editing it by the time, you know, this episode comes out anyway. But it could be good. I hope Adam watches it as well. Maybe in the first 10 minutes we talk about, you know, his music with Kylie and many other things and all that other stuff that we've
excited because again we're you're watching this in the future, you the watcher. But yeah, I'm excited for her. But yeah, I'm probably going to listen to it. I am an avid podcast listener. So, by the way, Nintendo podcast was in my top five Spotify podcast. So yeah, it was my number one. I know StrangeCast wasn't in my number five at all. StrangeCast wasn't. So wild if it was.
Oh, mate. You know, if anyone's listening as well, if StrangeCast is in your top five, let us know. Or tweet us on the pitch. That'd be crazy for me if StrangeCast is in part. Because it has a big following on Spotify, and we get like a lot of clicks and plays from there. But it'd be crazy if you are in there. So just let us know as well. That'd be quite cool. But yeah, as I said, we're here for this episode. Hope you enjoy the Kylie episode. I didn't realize Kylie had such a musical background as well. We talked about that during the episode as well. She actually has quite a, played a flute. Crazy.
Dang, I'm excited to hear this now.
Yeah, I hope you do enjoy it. And we plugged Adam's music on there, and we'll plug it again during this episode as well. It is available at this point. So we've basically restructured this episode. So there's no new segments because obviously they could be quite outdated. There's been quite a few little bits of news. I think there was one about the first Life is Strange hitting 20 million players.
Yes.
Which is quite massive and crazy. And it's funny that Square Enix has randomly dropped that. They've never done one for like other milestones. I was like, cheers, Square, just on Thanksgiving. But as I said, we're not going to talk about it because things will kind of get dated out. But we've structured this episode a bit differently. So this is episode 60, Adam. So we're on big 6-0. And I think we're just going to do a main segment here and then another couple of segments in between and all the other stuff you listen to. But the main one is going to be kind of like 2024. We're going to go into, by the time this episode, like, you know, starts rolling out, what are our predictions for, you know, the key players for Life is Strange, for the good old folks at Don't Nod, the good old folks at Deck Nine, potentially Square Enix in between that as well. I thought we'd just have a general conversation and chit chat about that because I think it's a good topic to kind of mark off the year. So, Adam, I think the best starting point will be to start with the Game Awards because obviously it's not happened yet. It's coming up. I think this is the final opportunity we see potentially from, as you alluded to before, Luc Michel, people from Don't Nod, Montreal. That this is kind of our like last major checkpoint where we could potentially see a reveal of this game. Will we see the game, Adam? We have to start with that.
I want to say again, we're this is going to be the Game Awards are actually this coming Thursday. Thursday. So as we're recording this, so I want to say yes. I really want to bank in and say yes because I think Jeff Keighley has he has kind of alluded to he's restructured the whole world premiere kind of thing. He has kind of restructured like he wants to give more focus to developers, and I feel like he wants to make a bigger change and actually like put hype behind something instead of like giving a kind of a general public perspective. And I think that Don't Nod Montreal rebranding and trying to find their footing, I think Jeff Keighley and Don't Nod Montreal have found like this kind of weird transitional time that they both are in, like in together. So I want to say yes, because I think it is a good collaboration, but the realist in me says no, like absolutely not. We're not going to see this at the Game Awards.
Oh yeah. It's a hard one because like this is, as I said, our final check mark for them to reveal it. I find it quite weird if they revealed it any other point in December. Obviously we have a big trailer coming out which will be for Grand Theft Auto, and a lot of people kind of keeping their eyes open for that, so it's going to drop in December. I don't know if Don't Nod really needs Game Awards either, like if it kind of gets sandwiched in everything, like, you know, because they used the Xbox Game Showcase for Juson. I just don't know if they're going to really necessarily use Keighley's platform for it.
I think
with the thing where I'm at now as well, I just don't think they're ready to reveal it just yet. I think we've got like the kind of wheels in motion right now with that game. I still think they're in from what I can tell, they're still hiring, obviously, to work on the project. And we've had like, you know, we've had more information about it, like the actors, for example, being shown. And then also, like, you know, Phil Bark being there. Like, Michelle and Luke have been quiet for, like, X amount of, like, years, months. They've only been showing little things. But I just don't know if it's going to be shown there. And I just don't know if they're ready to show it off yet as well. That's the big question. I think, like, because I think as well, we're here as well. Whatever time frame that the reveal is done and the trailer, whatever it is, the game won't be that far out from it. Personally speaking, you're not basically going to get them saying this is the game we're making on, oh, it's a 2027 release. It's not. It's coming out in either 2024, 2025. That's Don't Nod pipeline. And I think if anything for its fiscal year, it's going to go into 2024. It's going to be like that's the big game that they're waiting to drop. And also as well, like Banishers comes out early next year as well. So maybe this will kind of like overshadow
February. I don't think it comes out on the 14th. It comes out around... No, I think it does come out February 14th, exactly on Valentine's Day.
Because it was delayed from this year, and then...
Yeah, it said... I know it's coming out around Valentine's Day, February 13th. February so the day 13th. Before Valentine's Day. Yes.
So that's, yeah, so like that's, I don't know if they'll want to drop it, but I think if anything, the kind of thing would align for me is that they're moving. Like, I think like Luke and Michelle would be at the Game Awards, for example, if they're revealing it. I think they'd be invited there. It makes sense yes. to be invited into the crowd. So that's that. And I hopefully, you know, they probably might not even mention it on their feeds either, because it's like, you know, we'll be watching
that's
it.
That's true. If they even like say on Instagram, like, oh, we're in California. It's yeah. like, whoa, why are you in California, dog?
Yeah.
Why are you in California? Just like me, when Luke was in Philly, I'm like,
research the project.
Why are you in Philly?
Hmm? Scouting out your neighborhood.
Bro, I knew all the neighborhoods he was going into too. I was like, hey, look at that. But it's again, the realist in me says no, I don't think they will. But the thinker in me, and I don't have a lot of thinking room, it is a good collaboration because again, Jeff has wanted to transition to a better show, and Don't Know Montreal is looking to transition into like getting their foot in the doors of players. So like it is a good crossroads. Like I think it would be good. However, I don't think it will happen. No.
Yeah. My kind of like leaning towards is that it's not gonna happen. This could obviously bounce back in the backside. Yeah. It does happen, but I will agree with you, and I'm gonna go on limb where we don't see it. This point, yeah, I think they're still working on the specifics, getting things done. We don't know how far the project is. It seems quite far, as I said, because they're showing us so much stuff in between, like behind the scenes. However, I don't think that they're ready yet completely. I think it'll be early 2024 when we see the part of this. Do you think that that's kind of like a frame that you'd agree with, where we see the game get revealed for the first time?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like you said, they're hiring. They're still hiring for this project. However, they have done mocap. So it's just like, I don't know how far this game is. I do want to say.
I would imagine if for example, let's take Marsha when she left. Don't know Montreal. She must have worked on the game for a lot of it. I don't think she probably left the studio quite early on. Like how much in the role she was working in, I think it was narrative. Specifically, she was working narrative.
Yes.
Like, she can't have left that early on. I think she's like seen a lot of it, worked on a lot of it. But I still think that there's still specifics that they're doing. I still think that they're putting the game together in certain parts, at least. Because as I said, they're not going to drop a trailer and then be like, here's a 2025 release date, see you later. It's going to be like, here's the release trailer. The game comes out maybe spring or summer. Like, it's going to be within a frame of window where you get this game, however it's structured. I think I would hope it'd be early 2024, but I think it could even be into the spring, then goes into a summer release, or even potentially a summer reveal and then goes into a winter release. Like, you know, I don't know the kind of time frame of it. But I think that at this point we're going to see what they've been working on, either at the Game Awards, which I don't think, but it could happen as a surprise, or at in 2024. I think we'll see what Montreal has made. I know that Luke shared a photo where it's like their logo that they changed in the office. It's like, you know, they keep teasing little things. And I'm like, this game can't be out as far as I think it is now. They've been there for so long. They've been working on it. And I feel like with them as well, when they're being confident enough to share things, just like even behind the scenes things, I'm like, you're making substantial progress on this project now. Because we've seen it as well. We've covered it for like two, three years now, where it's like, oh, there's Jean-Luc. Oh, there's Philip Bart. Oh, there's the actors. Oh, there's this little thing. Here's a little bit of a nugget from the mocap. It's like, I'm like, you're making big rooms on here. So yeah, excited for Don't Nod. I think they'll have a big year in 2024. I think, especially with Banishers will be a big release for them. That's going to be a massive release for them as well. And obviously they've had a very good year this year with Harmony and Jusson. Did anything else come out from Don't Nod this year? Or am I going crazy?
You said Harmony, you said Jusson. I think Gerda, yeah.
Gerda, yeah.
Gerda.
It was Gerda last year.
That's what I was saying. I think it was this year.
Gerda was released in between things. I think there was a DLC that happened, and there's also a physical edition which came to Europe as well.
I mean, take a quick look.
When was Gerda? It feels like a lifetime ago. It feels 2022.
I know. I was just thinking about that this year. I only took Castagarden seriously in May of this year.
That's crazy.
And it's just like, it is kind of crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I've been doing this forever. But like, it's only been like since May.
That's when you get the white hairs.
It was last year, September 1st, 2022.
Right, okay. So
yeah,
those two games, Jusan and Harmony, is kind of like have been their big thing this year. And also Koira as well. Koira was revealed.
Oh, yes.
So I imagine we might see a little bit more of that. That's still quite far out, Koira, as well, because they announced a release date, a release window for that.
2025, dude.
Mm-hmm. So
holy hell.
I imagine they'll promote it. I do wonder what else Don't Nod gets up to this year. I could potentially see them like publishing another game or like working with another studio potentially. I know that they've got a certain, you know, timeline or like, you know, timeline of events for games being released and a pipeline of games. But I think like potentially we could see like another, like, you know, announcement of, ooh, Don't Nod is working with X studio to publish for this game. I can't rule that out.
Yeah, there's nothing to be ruled out like for the remainder of this year. Anything can just happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's a weird one that. But yeah, I think like Don't Nod will have an exciting year for me personally. I think that they've got quite a lot of plans in place. Obviously, that the eyes will all be on Montreal and what they do. I think that's the reveal, and I'm very excited for that, hopefully, whenever it happens. It'll be interesting to see what our theories are as well for that game, because like we had that massive episode and that comment Luke left me, Liz, rent free in my head, where I'm like, what do we talk about? And it's like he's obviously listened to, you know, topics and other things we spoke about. It's like we must have said something. I think you're probably right about the setting.
I'm hoping yeah. Like I'm really hoping, but yeah, it's definitely I hope it does get revealed so that a lot of answers are met at the Game Awards, but I don't have my expectations high that it's going to be there. And I know this is coming out like a week. I'm going to assume this is coming out the week after Kylie Brown.
It'll be 2 weeks because we'll go back to our regular schedule.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, we're way past the Game Awards at this point. So
yeah,
I hoped we would see it there, but we didn't see it there. Oh, Luke wasn't there. Oh, but Bao was there. Bao made the stage. That was crazy. Bao and Hot Dog Man went to the stage. That was insane.
I saw a video of him with his cat taking to the vets. He's meowing in the car. I was like, that's the sign of ultimate treachery for a cat to know that he's been taken to the vet. But yeah, like I think Don't Nod will be an interesting year for them. I don't think there's going to be any left curves thrown. I don't see Don't Nod getting taken over as an acquisition or anything in between that. Well, it could happen, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, I think like their timeline's quite set out for what they're expecting, and I think I'm excited to see what they keep doing. It's nice as well because it's like, you know, that part of that entire rebrand, and it's like we have a new identity, we have new games, we want to publish our own games, we want our own catalog of IPs. It's not nice and exciting, and it makes a change from Life is Strange as well for them as well. So excited for that. Anything else on Don't Nod, or should we move into?
Nothing else. But please hit a game in Philadelphia, please. Thank you.
You could be in Philly when they release it as well. When the reveal is done.
Yeah, I'm not planning to move back to Philly. I'm just moving back to the same state. I love Philly. If you're from Philly, love the state. I love the city of Philadelphia. Love you. It's in my blood. Would I ever move back? No. I love you, but like at a distance. I could be in Pennsylvania though. I could be
in Pennsylylvania. That would be mad if it is though. That would be crazy. And then you call it from the very beginning. Like, because like for me, the video that we did about the console, the screenshot that gave us the image.
Yes.
That's like what we based off, and your insight in the architecture and stuff is like what I have to rely on.
It looks like a northeastern house, man. It does, like to a T. I could be an idiot. What's that?
Luke's been there as well. That adds like more credence towards it. I'm like, you can't just like gone to Pennsylvania for like the, you know, for a little road trip or something. He's like,
you can't just go there for pleasure. It has to be for work.
Yeah.
Like you can't just have vacations. What are you doing, Luke?
No. Never.
Going on vacations like that, silly boy.
Absolutely never.
Yeah,
exciting though. We'll keep an eye on Don't Nod. I don't think that there's going to be much else that will be thrown out the, you know, left field for us that we have, don't already know. So they've got their plan. Interestingly enough, though, Deck Nine. Now, what do they do? Because obviously this year has been pretty busy for them, especially because of the Expanse, a Telltale series. And obviously we had some great opportunities to speak to like Stefan Frost, speak to Zandrews on that project, speak to Lily Hakama, who's Khan, Erica Mori. Great, great moments that. But the Expanse was a big project for them. It was unexpected for us to kind of see Deck Nine collab with Telltale of all publishers.
Yeah.
Deck Nine was also hit with layoffs as well during this period as well, which was a, you know, big shame for them. But what else is Deck Nine doing is the big question. So in 2024, do you want me to go first? Do you want like to take lead on what you expect to see him?
For sure, new Life is Strange game. Oh, for sure.
Think?
Oh, 100% positive. I'm like Steph Curry on the 3-point line right now. I'm hitting my shot here. They're gonna reveal a new Life is Strange game in 2024 for sure.
Really?
Reveal, not say release in 2024. They're working on another Life is Strange game.
Just
from my
context,
inside
though.
Sources in my brain head. They're working on Life. No, I don't have. For the record, I have no inside sources. I'm just a silly little lad making silly little beep boop bops music. So I have no inside. But I'm 100% positive they're going to reveal a new Life is Strange game for sure.
Because like, if you think about True Colors, I think they announced it like March, April or something when they announced that. And they had their own showcase for it as well, Square Enix. And then it came out in that year as well. It came out in like the September. So
did it come out that year?
Yeah, it came out in the same year that they dropped the showcase. It was like, bang. Like 6-7 months later, here's your game, enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right. Like 2021 was kind of wild, so I don't remember much. Like I don't remember because I like moved to North Dakota that year, so I'm like things are happening way too quickly. So they're gonna reveal a new Life is Strange game.
Damn, he's putting us all his cards out.
Oh yeah.
He's not expecting that.
They're doing it.
I think they're working on something else. I think they're working on a Life is Strange game, but I also think that they're working on something else behind the scenes. Something just like, I don't think, like, because me, the question is like the next 5 years, I don't think Deck Nine will just be working Life is Strange alone. I don't know if they'll make making any Life is Strange games alone. I don't know if Life is Strange will be a thing in 5 years time from now.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is a thing to consider. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think the conversation has always been like, you know, I think if Montreal has the big hit and it's a spiritual successor to Life is Strange, then C'est la vie, Life is Strange, it's not going to have the same resonance with people at all. I think that will kind of like, you know, be like Don't Nod's ultimate power move there, where it'd be like, oh, actually, we've got this great new like spiritual successor. We can make our own games. We can run our own development teams on it, etc. So like, you know, it's a win-win for them. But yeah, Deck Nine's an interesting one, like, because obviously, like, the studio size has now gone down as well because people have like lost their jobs because of the cuts and stuff. You've done the Expanse, you know, we've played the DLC, we played all the episodes in there, and like, what else are you doing? Because like, you know, we have to think about it as well. But, like, we've had Stefan Frost and like, you know, Zach Andrews on here, and they were part of a different development team from what we know from the Life is Strange team. So I think that they're working probably on a Love of Life is Strange game. Like they've done like those, we've seen those like survey feedbacks and conversations we had about that. It wouldn't surprise me if they are working on another Life is Strange game. But I don't know if it'll be revealed next year. I don't know if it's going to happen. It could.
Yeah.
But I'd expect if they announced it, it'd have to be released in the same year, personally speaking.
I only think that just because with all these acquisitions or sales, I should say, like Square Enix sold a lot of IPs, but decided to keep Life is Strange IP, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of thinking of right now, Square Enix, like, well, we didn't keep this for no reason. You got to use this IP now. I'm not losing money on this. So I think that Square Enix is kind of pushing for a new Life is Strange game because they kept the IP. But that's my guess, is that they want to have, you know, not a lost fund kind of situation. You know what I mean? So I think they're just kind of pressuring them.
Yeah, because Square Enix,
good Life is Strange game is a different category. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're pushing for a new Life is Strange game.
I expect them to fully put another one into development. I expect that's kind of like be the expectation that Life is Strange game is in development. Like you have to think as well, like development on True Colors started ages ago, and it came out in years and years ago now, so it feels like that's a distant memory now, True Colors, a little bit. So they've definitely got something in the works, and their development team is probably working on something. Who knows what it is? But I expect, obviously, Deck Nine will be at the helm of it for the time being, because there's no other parties involved in that. But yeah, it's interesting for Deck Nine. I don't expect anything big or major to be kind of like, you know, from left field for us. I don't expect them to be taken over by any stretch of the imagination either. That'd be quite interesting. They were acquired by a publisher or something. Maybe your boy Phil Spencer might put a phone call in to the people at Deck Nine. He might be like, yo, do you want to come on Games Pass? Do you want to become a first party studio?
That's also a possibility. It really is.
By the way, do you, like, out of the two of them as well, Deck Nine and Donut, who do you think is more likely to become like a first party publisher? Or first party studio, sorry, like if they got taken over?
For Xbox, you mean?
For general. If you were going to like think that one was going to become an acquisition target, who do you think is more likely to be gobbled up by a bigger player?
Deck Nine.
Yeah,
for sure.
Cheaper as well.
Just because Deck Nine is more known for their collaborative projects. And especially Xbox is looking for collaborative studios. Whereas I'm not saying that Donut has never collaborated on anything else. I mean, look at Vampyr. Donut still is that collaborative, but because they're trying to do their own path, whereas Deck Nine is essentially, I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm just saying that they're essentially a cover band right now. Like, they're just taking other IPs coming in and they're making something new out of it. And like I said, I hope the next Deck Nine game that we get is a new IP, because I do want to see Deck Nine do their own IP. I think that would be great. But in terms of what companies would like to acquire in terms of other studios that they have, Deck Nine has proven to be the collaborative studio. So I think it would be Deck Nine.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really agree with you all as well, especially with like seeing something completely new and different from Deck Nine, because obviously The Expanse was quite nice as well, the experience and what we got from storytelling. I've always said that they're quite good storytellers, even without Life is Strange. It's like that Life is Strange, like kind of like lick of paint from Donut has followed them, because it's you know, another studio made the IP. But it's interesting though. I think like I'm always being surprised that Xbox has never looked at like someone like Deck Nine and like looked as a studio, being like, ooh, maybe we'll just like bring it because we can make.
We
games
don't know
games.
That they haven't looked at them. I mean, we did get that list of studios that they did want to acquire, and I think Square was on that list, if I remember Square correctly. So it's kind of like they did look at Deck Nine, they did look at Donut through Square Enix. But with this whole Activision Blizzard thing, like, we don't know if they're still acquiring it. It took up so much of their time and their like
so much money.
Fees. Yeah, so much money, dude. So I don't think they're really looking at small fries, you know, for a while, because like with this transition hasn't really even happened yet. Like Activision games haven't been on Game Pass yet, so they probably are looking to acquire somebody else, but just like because this thing took over not only in video games, it took over mass media, like like just regular plebs were watching this, and like the Activision Blizzard deal. So like, I think it was just taking over a lot of Xbox time. So I'm like, I don't think they're going to. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen next year. I hope it doesn't, because I don't like what Xbox does with the IPs right now. I mean, look at Starfield. Look at Redfall. Look at, it's like anything else that they've acquired. It's just been so mid. Like, Xbox has been so mid that just kind of like, dude, what are we doing here? I think that's why I've just like gone to Nintendo so often lately. Which, by the way, I tried to beat Tears of the Kingdom. I like Breath of the Wild so much better. Just putting that out there. I don't like Tears of the Kingdom's ending. I don't. But that being said, like I think that's why I'm steering towards Nintendo lately, just because they're putting out good products. Whether I like Tears of the Kingdom or not, it's still a good product. Mario Wonder, good product. Xbox, so mid. So mid, dude. It's just so mid. Dave the Diver, very good. On Switch now. Starfield, no. Just no. Spider-Man 2 hasn't been even, like, deemed as like the upper mid. Like it's it's just been deemed as like it's a really good game sometimes. It's just like, I don't know. Video games are different nowadays.
They're very different. It's a very weird trend at the minute. I think people like, you're not the first person I talk to when they're like, oh, I play my Switch and play these like, you know, more millennial aligned games that you like had when you were younger and stuff. It feels like that as well. Like sometimes these games kind of get lost a bit. But also as well, I would sooner have Xbox acquire someone like Deck Nine than the Embracer Group, which is the most horrific. Like, oh, like that's my fear with like Square Enix losing.
Can I just be sad about something real quick? Real quick. Fucking Bracer, dude. I know we shouldn't be Chris, but like, have you heard about the KOTOR remake?
Yeah.
Have you heard it's been canceled by Embracer?
Yeah.
Have you heard that Xbox won't pick it up? They won't do it. And KOTOR, bro, there are two Xbox. Phil, talk to me, baby. Phil, if you're watching this, I know you are. You love Life is Strange. let me just say something. There's two IPs that you need to recover right now, which is KOTOR, which has always been an Xbox IP. Shout out Mr. Matty Plays for always shouting this out, but like it's always been an Xbox IP. KOTOR has. You need to save that. You need to get it. Go grab it. Pick up the bill. Go make it. The other one is Tony Hawk's Underground. You have Activision now. You need to give me a Tony Hawk's Underground remake. Just saying. Give it to me now, Phil. Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
It'd be mad if they canceled it.
What's that?
It'd be mad if they didn't remake the Tony Hawk's game.
I know they have Activision now. We got like the perfect Tony Hawk remaster with 1 and 2. It was, I'm saying this right now, perfect. 10 out of 10. Perfect remaster. Tony Hawk's Underground was the only one that mattered. And we're not doing it. Fuck that. But also KOTOR has always been on Xbox. Like it was a flagship model for selling original Xbox. Like that's what he did. Like you get KOTOR on the Xbox. And now PlayStation said, no, we want to make this. Xbox, pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. I want my KOTOR remake. Like I was telling this to Maddie. Like I was telling this to my friend. Like, dude, there's so many unnecessary remasters coming out right now. So many unnecessary ones, including that Life is Strange remaster. Including that. I think me and Adam have been very clear about that.
By the way, speaking of that, before you continue, do you think it'll get patched in 2024?
Okay, so I am planning when I come back in January, I am planning on replaying all of it. All my Xbox. Because when I played it on my Switch, I stand by this. Get the Life is Strange remaster on Switch. Digital, not physical. Yeah. But get it on digital, because I actually did not have a bad time playing it on my Switch. Mm. Like, neither one. I actually found it fine. Graphics, fine. You know, it's a Switch port. Like, what do you expect? But I liked it. I like playing on my Switch. So if you're going to get it on Switch. If you're going to get it, by the way. But in January, I do actually want to replay it on my Xbox. And then I'll report back to you saying it. Or we'll play it together. You'll play on PlayStation 5. Mm. And we'll both come back saying, like, hey, is it better now? Like, is
maybe
it okay
that's a good
now?
Topic to do as well, to readdress it. Like, to go back and play it and see what happened. Because obviously I need to fit this in with Final Fantasy VII Part 2 coming out, because you probably won't hear from me for like 3 or 4 months whilst I play that. Because that'll be like, me gone. But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to actually see that, because like, the Embracer Group thing was just ridiculous. That's my fear with like the Life is Strange IP getting sold off by Square Enix one day, and then some like Embracer Group taking it and just like messing it up to Kingdom Come. And then,
because that's the thing, they had such a lob up there with KOTOR. Like, Lucasfilms wants this game to be made. They want it, and Embracer, but like Embracer doesn't want to pick up the bill. They're just like, no, it has to be someone else who pays for it. I'm like, you have the funds. I know you have the funds. Stop it. Like, oh my god.
Knights, speaking of Lucas, Knights of the Old Republic 2 was cancelled as well. Happy 2023, Adam.
I hate this year. I hate this year. I know I got famous this year. I know it was great. Here's the thing. I got married in 2016, which is one of the worst years of all time. But I got married, so it was fine. 2023, I had a song that reached 50,000 streams. Was it still a shitty year? Yes. It's like, it doesn't take the fact away. So, question on video games in general. Woodhawker from the Nintendo podcast has said that, and other people have said this, that this has been the best year for video games he's remembered in the past 10 years. What are your thoughts on that? Because I disagree.
No.
Well, yeah, 10 like, years.
No.
It's like saying like one of the best gaming years like that's ever happened. And I'm just like, I mean, it's been good. Like,
I mean,
it's
the
been,
prices went up this year. That was great. Like,
it's true. Yeah. Like, talking about the Game Awards, right? So Game of the Year. Let's just talk about that. Like, Baldur's Gate 3 and Tears of the Kingdom, those two games representing this year, it's like, yeah, you can measure it by like, oh yeah, that was really good. It was a good year. But then you look at the other ones. Oh, by the way, I really want to play Alan Wake 2. Haven't picked it up.
I do want to play that as well.
They've said good things. So Alan Wake 2, but like, this is like the latter part of the year.
By the way, Adam, before you go on that as well, because when Life is Strange hit 20 million players, Sam Lake?
Yes. Yes.
He responded to Michelle's tweet about it, and Michelle was like, he was like, oh my god, Michelle loves the first Alan Wake as well. So I was like, yeah. I was buzzing for Michelle. I was like, that's so cool that you actually got Sam Lake to respond to him. But yeah, continue.
That's crazy. No, like, but yeah, no, like this. Just talking about, Resident Evil 4 came out.
Ah, oh, yes, the great 2023 of a remake.
Yeah, I know, but that came out like April.
Yeah, March, April, so, somewhere around that time,
something like that. Like, it came out early this year, yeah. But the other five have come out pretty much the latter part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hasn't really been. Oh, sorry. Tears of the Kingdom did come out in March. I'm stupid. Sorry. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's been a wild year for video games, if anything else. It's called the best year for video games. It's kind of like, I think it's a recovery year. I think this is the year that, you know, we're going to see a transition coming in. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is going to be like the greatest year we're going to remember, you know?
No, I don't think it's the greatest year. I think it's a recovery period, like you said, but it's also a lagging period because games got pushed into 2024. Banishing being one, for example. Like, the industry is like, and had job cuts like literally left, right, and center on every like studio. So I don't think they're anywhere near as good as they could have been. Games aren't the same though as well. Like, because obviously we can show our age now as well. Like, think about that PS2 era. Some of the games that came out for like the 8 years you had it on that. Like, you had smaller budgets. You had like more concentrated games. It's like now, for example, you have Spider-Man 2 that came out. It was great. I really enjoyed it. But you're not going to see the next Spider-Man for 4 or 5 years. I'm like thinking, sitting here, like, I'm going to be like 34, 35 or so when this next game comes out. I might not even be playing
games.
Okay,
talking about age, when am I going to get Elder Scrolls 6? When am I going to get the one game I want from Bethesda? And that's the thing. I'm so scared that I've been waiting this long. I will probably be 35 or 36 when this game finally releases. And the games that we've had so far since we've been waiting, Fallout 4, which was at best, Fallout 76, okay, Redfall, I know that wasn't Bethesda Studios, but Starfield, okay? Like, all these games are coming out, they're coming out so mid. That I'm so scared that I've been waiting, and I'm finally, maybe I'll have a kid by then, and I'll have like, maybe, I don't know, but like, maybe I will have a kid and I'll finally share an experience like, oh, this game blew my mind, Skyrim, and I can't wait to share this experience with you, the fruit of my loins, my little loin fruit. And it comes out like crap.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Why?
Dude, we're still waiting.
Video games aren't the same.
What's that?
10 years. We're still waiting for GTA 6. It's been 10 years.
That's wild to me because it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years because it keeps going on to the top 10 selling every month. So it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's been over 10 years for Skyrim just because it popped off and then we see a short decline. Mm-hmm. But because Grand Theft Auto 5 has been in the running for relevancy for 10 years, it hasn't felt like it's 10 years.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's been 10 years. For all you Sims players out there, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just truly sorry. You just keep getting expansions. You just keep getting expansions, but you never get a Sims 5. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just really sorry if you're a Sims player. You're just never going to get your Sims 5. Just expansions. Really, from the bottom of my cold, black heart, I'm sorry.
Adam, completely late left field as well on this. Bring it back onto Life is Strange. Well, 2024 will mark 9 years since Life is Strange 1 came out in January. Do we see a remake next year or the year after in 10 years?
No. No, no, no. Because
we live in remake.
Wait, no,
world.
Wasn't it 2025 going to be the 10-year mark?
Yeah, so 9 years will be January this year.
9 years, yeah. And then oh, you're talking about, yeah, okay, 2025, what we see. I don't.
They better be getting that checkbook out and writing Ashley Birch a big check because she ain't coming back.
I know. I know, dude. Like, there's no way, man. There's no way.
They would have to recast that game in parts as well. Some of those voice actors don't even voice act anymore. Or they'd have to do some other variation and then they might do mocap. That game's getting remade. I've told people a million times that game, because I'm going to sit here one day on this podcast with my tea and I'll be like, sipping it like Victoria and be like, I told you. I told you.
I don't know. Like, I want to say no. But, like, we've been having so many ridiculous remasters. When I just want the two remasters, KOTOR and Tony Hawk Underground. That's it. That's all I want. I'm only asking for very little things here. Oh, my God. But Tony Hawk's... You've played Tony Hawk's Underground, right?
Yeah, of course. Oh, Can you imagine
that? Yeah.
Oh, Underground. Yeah, I could imagine it. It'd be great as well. It'd be like,
can
so.
Imagine that remade.
Yeah. Those remasters were great that I played for Tony Hawk's. They were just like so nostalgic.
That's what I mean. And they were just remasters. They weren't full remakes. They took the original source code and they made it like perfect. Can you imagine Tony Hawk's Underground with today's technology? Like, game over. We're done. Everybody go home now. No more remasters. We're done.
Do you know what, as well? Underground, as well, it feels so out of place now, as well, in 2023. Because I don't think a new generation would have the same aesthetic feel like we do. Like, do you remember when you used to go into a McDonald's when you were younger and the entire walls were colorful and they had all those tacky toys and stuff? Why do they all look like the corporate offices now?
Yeah, that's like, because, like, the other thing with Tony Hawk's Underground, it was all about starting chaos, you know, like in a fun way and not in a, like, let's wreak havoc on society. Tony Hawk's Underground came out in a different time where we're not trying to go after the man. We're just like knocking over statues just because, you know, we were bored. Now we're starting riots because we don't agree with, you know, certain policies that we shouldn't agree with anyway. So let's start a riot, you know? Riots and starting destruction mean something different nowadays than it did in 2003. Question mark? The Tony Hawk's Underground?
I think that sounds 2003? Right. 2003 is a good guess, actually.
Yeah.
Either that or one, I'd say, but I think it's going to say 3-4, maybe.
Oh, let's go. 2003. Let's go.
20 years. Oh, my God.
October 27th was the 20-year anniversary.
Damn.
I know. That's wild to think about. Don't make Tony Hawk's Underground 2. That game was garbage.
If you want to feel old as well, I saw this in the tweet. It's like, I think we're now closer to 2050 than we are 1990.
I know.
Man, no.
And I was like, nah. Do you know what? So I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, nah, I'm done with this app for the day. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, I want to know what Strange has. Leave me alone. Like,
so stupid. But no, I think, yeah, I don't know. Like, to answer your original question, I want to say no, but I don't know. I don't know.
Depends what Square's doing with it. I don't think Deck Nine would remake it. I think they'd export it to like, you know, some other studio, and like some random studio that they've done with like other games, like Konami's doing with Metal Gear Solid 3, and you know, etc.
Larian Studios is gonna remake it.
I think that they'll do something like next year, maybe like kind of like celebrating Life is Strange 1 a bit more, but 10 years, they're gonna do something big, I imagine. Square Enix on that part. I always said that as well. I think like even wherever the series goes next, and when we talk about Don't Nod having potentially like a great spiritual successor or something, if Life is Strange bombs, the next step, of course, for them is going to be remaking Life is Strange 1, and probably Before the Storm. They won't remake Life is Strange 2. They don't like Life is Strange 2.
Like, no, they don't like Life is Strange 2, man.
Here's a question for you.
Huh?
Do you think next year, at any point, Square Enix will acknowledge Sean and Daniel on Life is Strange 2 in the same way where it's like it's hit 3 or 5 million players collectively?
Man, no, they're going to bury that, man. For some reason, they just don't want to recognize Sean and Daniel. It's just such a travesty, man. Like, I don't know. Like, they recognize them. Here's how they recognize them. They're on the Switch.
And they're on sale.
There you go. You win now. You got them on the Switch. Okay, that's all you're going to get now. Bye. It's just like, great. Thanks.
By the way, underneath that, there's a link saying it's on sale as well. Click here to buy it. That's what they usually do. It's weird, though, because like, as you said, like they could do so many comics with it. They could do so many books with it. They could even include like the characters in whatever, you know, book or like comic series that they want of Life is Strange based. I think like the best thing I saw was it with Dream Prison put something on one of our YouTube videos where it's like, at least Square Enix can't hurt Sean and Daniel.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to like, because they're not using them. Actually, I'm like, you know what? You're actually right about that as well. It's like, we don't have to worry about Sean and Daniel's future at that point.
I want to say now that it is on sale, Life is Strange 2 on the Switch.
They do that game day, man.
It's actually not a bad price either. It's $16 until December 4th. Oh, wait. So by the time this episode comes out, it's no longer on sale. Well, it's on sale. As the time of recording is on December 4th, it's going to go off sale, but, you know, it's on sale.
They should pick it up. That's like a quality price to pick up Life is Strange 2 for. Like,
yeah, because the original price is $32. And I'm like, I don't know. Sure. $32. It's a weird price, but sure, why not? But yeah, $16. It's not too bad. It's not a bad price. Not too bad.
Like, in terms of Life is Strange next year, we know that we have the novel coming out, the second prose novel, like, you know, so we have more continuation of Alex and Steph. Obviously the comic series has started this month with Zori Forogod's work, so that'll be the individual issues that come out, and then the volume comes out next year, which probably when I pick it up. But I don't know what actually happens to Life is Strange in like next year as well. Like, I don't know what Square Enix does with it. I think there'll probably be like a couple of like, you know, surprises in between where they reveal like another book, or they reveal a certain comic or something in between it, like just some kind of variation. But I don't really know what else Square Enix is going to do with it. Like,
yeah,
it's like they kind of like just got this, you know, IP at the minute, and they're just sitting on it as much as possible. And I wish they did more things like, you know, when they did part of the Life is Strange players and said, we've hit 20 million milestones. It's like, embrace it more, man. It's like, do every 5 million milestones or something. It's like, why have we hit 20 million? You just randomly put it out as a tweet as well. Like, make it more of a big deal out of it. That's massive for a game that came out 8 years ago that it's hit 20 million players. That's crazy. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting year, 2024. I'm looking forward to it, hopefully.
Yeah, like, and the new Switch is supposed to come out in 2024 too, so
that'll be interesting. Do you think Montreal's game will come to the Switch?
Mm-mm. No chance.
Just the PC, Xbox, and PlayStation release.
Yeah, I think they might, like, it might be like one of those delayed Switch releases.
Mm-hmm.
Or it comes out 2024 and it comes out on the new Switch because of the new hardware. So maybe we don't even know what the next Switch is called, but rumors are pretty heavy that the next Nintendo console is coming out in 2024. So
they had it, was it Gamescom? They had it like for behind
closed doors. Yeah.
That'd be quite. Yeah. I just love Nintendo where it's like, everyone's like, they always doubt them. Like, hey, you, I'm doing you as impression. Hey, you, here's Zelda. Here's Mario.
They apparently behind those closed doors, they put up a Breath of the Wild scheme. So like they were putting Breath of the Wild on the new console. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay, guess what? I don't think we're gonna get new Zelda in a long time though.
No.
In a very long time. I think they're gonna rehash that whole series. I think Tears of the Kingdom I don't think it did what they wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to make it into a trilogy. I think they're going to just move on. So we might not see another Zelda for 5 years, probably.
Do you know what? It's mad as well, Nintendo strategy, because they've not even gone down the publisher's route, like Jim, we've seen in a minute, where it's let's remake every game and let's remaster every like Zelda game. They do occasionally where it's like, here's Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3DS version or something like that.
Yes.
Well, they never like gone ape with it compared to like these other publishers. It's like, you know, we've just had The Last of Us 2 remastered announced for 3 years ago. Yeah. It's like Naughty Dog's been busy, haven't you? Like, you know what you're releasing. But it's like, it's quite weird that Nintendo's never had that strategy, because they could literally, it'd be like a cow and they could milk so much money because like their IPs are that lucrative. But mad they've never done that. So crazy.
No, it's line. That's why I'm like really leaning into Nintendo lately. Like, I'm really just leaning into it because it brings me back to like what video games should be, you know? Yeah. They're putting out quality stuff, and it's the history of Kyoto as a city in Japan. It's always been the imperial place to get the most quality things. So they're giving that heritage its rightful ownership, you know? Like, I'm really leaning into Nintendo lately. Like this year, actually, 2023, I've been just really leaning into it because I'm like, I really just want quality, like, video games. So, now, yes, you could be like, oh, well, did you see the Mortal Kombat graphics on the Switch? I'm like, yes, I saw those. Those are very funny memes, okay? But we're talking about, like, in-studio games. Like, we're not talking about third-party on the Switch. Yeah. Like, that's just... Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever really buy like a third party game on Switch unless it's like a previously dated one, like a PlayStation 2 game, like Resident Evil 4 or something.
Yeah,
I'd be like, that'd be fine. But like, I'm never gonna buy anything third party, and because I don't think the developers really care about it. They don't really give it that much respect. So it's like, what's the point? I think like at least with Square Enix, they did a good job with the remastered collection on that. Dubbed the Arcadia Bay Collection.
Yeah,
need those royalties.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, like yeah, it's gonna be. I'm looking forward pessimistically to 2024. I'm just hoping my expectations aren't like, you know, brought down quite a lot in some way, shape, or form. But it'll be an interesting year, and I think it'll be an interesting year for Life is Strange as well. I think I will probably align with you a little bit, thinking that there's gonna be a game that'll be announced. It's been a long time since we've heard from like about Life is Strange and even a game as well. Should we move into another topic?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so this is like a little section I just thought about as well before this. Let's, you know, a bit of reflection of life of StrangeCast in 2023, you know? I was saying to Adam, I think it's about the third or fourth anniversary in March, I mean 2024. Mm. And I was like, this year has been pretty crazy for us as well. We've done like a lot of episodes, a lot of recordings. So I thought we'd just talk about some of the highlights and some of the great moments that we've had this year. Do you want me to go first?
This year alone?
This year alone.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, go first.
Yeah, so I think it's been a pretty crazy year in terms of like what we've had on here. I never thought we'd get anyone from Deck Nine. That was quite a wild experience to have Stefan on here, and it was great chatting with him as well. He's just quite a laid back guy and has such incredible insight as well. His journey as well was incredible as well into game development. Mm-hmm. And the same with Zachary Andrews as well. I love Zach as well, which was great. Erica Mori coming back on, really enjoyed having her on here. And then even Kylie as well. You can't realize Kylie, but you know, Kylie being back on here was fun as well. talking about the essence of life and, you know, other things, but, you know, you'll see that. But no, I really enjoyed some of the great moments. My two personal moments, my favorite moments for the entire year have been, it's two parts in two podcast episodes. And it's one where Erica Mori is saying, she's like, I'm not a really non-confrontational person. And at the same time, we're both like, really? And that's not even timed. Yeah. It's just like a natural reflex that happened. And then on top of that is the episode with Zachary Andrews. And Zach starts talking about Meisner, and we both go, Erica Mori loves that. It's the timing of it. It's like, again, just not even planned. And it's just like those two moments are just like spot on for me. So those are like the moments. But generally speaking, it's been such a great year of like the kind of like the guests that we've had on here, the viewing numbers, the people who have like listened, the podcast's growth on Spotify, which is amazing. And then on top of that, even the logo redesign as well. That was quite a nice, like, little late addition to kind of throw into 2023. I was kind of happy that we got that done. So it was quite nice to have a wrap up on there. How about you?
I'm actually like making sure I'm not missing any episodes because, like, I want to make sure that I'm like remembering this year correctly. But the one that came to my mind, first and foremost, was having Dreamwalker on. There we go. That was really fun. I liked having him on. Really nice guy, and yep, that was this year. Just making
sure. Life is Strange 2 Stan as well.
Yeah, Life is Strange 2 Stan, and was really committed to coming on because I come on super early in the morning, and Dreamwalker's like, yeah, no problem, and comes on like stupid early in the morning, and just like powers through and has a great conversation. So yeah, definitely Dreamwalker was a good grab. Jonathan Panetta, was that this year?
I believe that was last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 9 months ago. That was this year, dude. That's February. This is a long year, dude.
No.
This is so long. I'm looking at it right now. Jonathan Panetta about his new Life is Strange inspired track on February 22nd, 2023.
Why did I think we did that last year?
Bro, it's been a long year.
Oh, my
God. It's been
a long year. Oh, my God.
I mean, the way I'm thinking about it, like, I already said that I only took Caster Garden seriously in May, and it feels like I've been doing this for like 3 years. So it's just like,
yeah,
it's a long year.
Did the Essence of Life come out last year?
Essence of Life came out last year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah.
Damn.
I know. It's wild. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I did not realize that Jonathan Panetta was this year. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Just making sure.
It's nice to have that as well as an experience of bringing people from the community on here as well.
Yeah.
It's obviously, like, you know, scheduling and getting people on is just, it's just so crazy sometimes to get it on, but to have people from the community and outside development is so nice to have an experience to have people on here and chat about things.
And I was gonna say, was Alejandro this year? But no, he was November. I just wanted to make sure he was November last year. I was like, was Alejandro this year? but no, it was November last year. Yeah, I want to say Dreamwalker was probably a favorite one of mine to have on. Of course, Erica Mori. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
The legend.
Yeah. But also just, you know, just quick shout out, like, just like have this year, like Luke, like having like a really good positive feedback from Luke. I don't know. I've always like, he's probably listening to this right now, so I'm going to say it anyway. I've always looked up to Luke in the way of just like his production style, his tenacity, his social media presence. Like, I remember playing the Life is Strange game and then just like looking up the developers behind it, and Luke was one of them. Of course, Michelle, and like his mind of how to tell a story is crazy, but I always liked Luke's style of production, and I like Luke's style of promoting the game, and you know, he was just a really cool guy to like just watch, and then just to have him like have good feedback on Strangecast, to the point where I railed on Life is Strange 2, and he's like, that's fine, go for it. I'm like, huh? So it's just really cool to see that, like, someone I've looked to like almost inspire for a production standpoint of like how I would like to produce something, and just to have that same guy to, like, you know, have good feedback, that's really cool. Michelle, you know, playing, and I know this was last year, I don't care, but Michelle playing Ali Ali World, potentially, we haven't got an answer on that, I don't think, but you know, that'd be really cool. But yeah, Michelle listening to the episodes too, you know, that's really cool, you know. But I've always looked to Michelle in terms of storytelling, but yeah, just having those two watch the show is really cool.
Yeah, it's cool that you said that, because even like the other developers, like Luke said that, or some of the other developers listen to it, and even when we interact with people like Marin as well from Montreal, and other developers who have kind of popped in and out, which is really cool. Yeah. Philip Bach as well, leaving us a cheeky little comment on one of our videos as well. That was quite a nice little surprise to get there. I was like, why is this like Gene Wilder picture on my YouTube channel? Like, who's that? I was like, Philip Bach? I was like, nah. And then I looked at it, I was like, actually, it's him. I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. But yeah, as you said, it's quite nice to have Luke around and to kind of, like, you know, talk about their games and follow them for as long as we have as well. Like, it's just, it feels crazy, because like a lot of my journey into journalism start with was in 2015, and it started with Life is Strange. Like, that's where it, like, started for me to get to here, and then through that, meeting you, like, speaking to Luke, and like just generally chit-chatting throughout the last 9 years, finally getting to sit down with Alejandro last year, which was really cool, interacting with Michelle acknowledging the fact that he's in Life is Strange 1 in episode 5 in his little painting in the painting gallery. Yeah, it's been crazy just to have, like, kind of that experience, and obviously hopefully carry that through into 2024 and cover their game as well, which is we've done as well on top of that. It's crazy, like, when you put it in perspective, because, like, when you scroll through the thumbnails, Adam, and I was doing it a couple of days ago, you see how much we've covered from them, and including, like, the early mocap one, where it's like Luke and Michelle and Marsha in the mocap studio. And I think that's like maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago, that the image that they posted of them in there. And it's like,
yes,
has that much time really passed for us? And it's like, in between that, we've covered every little nugget of information. There's like been a picture of Michelle in the voice recording booth, and we've done like a topic segment or like just a news segment. And that's like a crazy experience to have. And it's like, and the nice thing is, in 2023, we've been building up to kind of more information. Like, you know, when that picture was revealed, I was like, Adam, this picture's here. It's like, let's talk about this. It's like, why is there a console here? You know. And then also as well, we got to talk to Dreamwalker about as well, Dream Prison. Like, he gave us his theories about it. He was in my DMs giving me theories, and I'm like, I'm not stealing this guy's theories, because his theories are great. Like, I'm not putting my name on them, but it's like just cool to hear other people's feelings about it.
I also forgot that Steph's story came out this year.
Steph's story did come out this year. That was really enjoyable, actually.
Because I'm looking through the thumbnails of what was our first episode of the year. And it was Katie Bentz returns for Steph's story, and Don't Now reveals another game is coming in 2023. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Damn, so. that is quite there. Yeah. I really wish we'd had Katie on this year. Completely pot. Can I get that arranged in some way, shape, or form?
But yeah, no, like, Steph's story came out this year, and I was very impressed with Steph's story. I really liked doing that audiobook. Oh, by the way, little annoyance. So if you have Spotify Premium, by the way, if you have Spotify Premium, you actually get 15 hours of audiobooks as part of your subscription. So every month you get 15 hours on certain ones. I did look, and I was going to announce to our audience. I was like, you can check it out. You can read Steph's story. And Steph's story is on Spotify, but not in your premium subscription. You have to purchase it if you want to listen to it, which, you know, go ahead and do that. But I was going to be like, hey, if you have Spotify Premium, you got Steph's story. But you don't. You still have to buy it.
I listen to it via Audible for free. I got a free trial, and I was like, sweet, here we go.
I listened to an Audible,
It was quite an interesting experience. It's great because you know Katie's voice, and then you can kind of just hear narrating the entire story of Steph and all this experience, and it gave Steph that extra, even more layers to her story. So that was really cool. Yeah.
So we're not really doing Spread the Arts, right? Like, we're doing a different thing.
Well, we'll be doing Spread the Arts, but also another extra segment, which
yeah,
which is very telling about things.
Because I just want to say that, like, I've been with my premium subscription, I've been listening to Reggie's book, Reggie Fils-Aimé's Disrupting the Game, and it's read by Reggie Fils-Aimé,
really?
Which is stupid funny, dude. Because if you know, like, all right, my name is Reggie, and I'm going to be talking like this. Me, Reggie Fils-Aimé. Here we go. And so it's just him recounting his life, but like with all the Reggie memes that are just stuck in my head. It's like, all right, that's all the time I have. I need to get back home and play Animal Crossing New Leaf on my Nintendo 3DS, or my body is ready. All the memes. So it's a really good book, by the way, but just like being read by Reggie, I'm just like,
can't get over it.
Yeah, I can't get over it, dude. It's so good, dude. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
No. Yeah, it's been a wild year. I think it's been, I don't think we've kind of like had a moment to stop and reflect on it. It's just been like nonstop. Like even that period of like October to November, where we had Lily Hakama for an interview. We had Stefan Frost on. We had Zachary Andrews. We also had like Erica Mori.
My first holiday special album. So,
and it was like, oh, hello. Like, we have planned this through like a lot of people. But no, I really enjoyed it nonetheless. There was only one Life After Strange episode this year, which was quite interesting. It was with
only one this year with
Trey Hutch.
Wasn't there
True
one
enough.
More?
No.
Oh, I thought there was one more.
I think there's only one this year.
Wow, that's wild. Huh. I mean, I believe you. You're the one, you know, doing them. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm like, oh, really?
It's wild. Yeah. That series has just been put on the back burner. I've not had time for it. And it's just, you know, it's crazy. Might get another one or two episodes in between, but we'll see where it's at the minute. I kind of like just leaving it there for the moment.
Yeah, look at that. Your last one was with Katie Bentz before that.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. That's a little wild to me.
It does feel crazy with that.
September 9th, 2022. Huh. By the way, I did talk to Trey about like when he's dropping his music, but he says like it's, you know, a little like it's still being in the works. So I'm still saying like, hey, man, look out for Trey. Look out for Trey. Actually, he did drop another feature. So go check that out. It's on Spotify. Trey Hutch is in another feature song. So go check that out.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Adam, should we move to Spread the Arts?
Yes. Go for it.
So this is Spread the Arts, but then also another segment. It kind of wraps into our theme of the end of year kind of segment. Do you want me to go first with Spread the Arts?
Yes.
So I forgot to mention this to you as well, and I recently watched it, and it's after something you mentioned on Spread the Arts. So I watched the film Missing, 2023.
Okay.
And I also watched Run as well from 2020, which was the standalone sequel to the film that you watched, which was, I can't remember what it's called now. I'm trying to look at it here, what it's called. Screen Life film. What is it called?
I don't know.
Searching?
Oh, wait, Run was a sequel to Searching?
So Run's a standalone sequel. It's like a spiritual sequel. It's directed by the same guy who made Searching.
Hmm.
So he directed a second film. It's a standalone. But it's his style. And then I also watched this one, which was called Missing in 2023. So I think this is made by, I'm just quickly reading the Wikipedia just to double check it. He is not, the same guy who did the original isn't directing this. Missing is made by Will Merrick and Nick Johnson, who I think they worked on another part of the film. But this is the very similar to the one that you watched, which was Searching. I would recommend you check out this little trilogy of films. I really enjoyed Missing. It's
you kind is of Missing good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed
good.
It. Yeah. Okay. It's different, and they keep it, and it's different from the original, like, you know, Searching that you see, but I enjoyed it. So I think if you want to watch this trilogy of films, because Run, I'm trying to get the names right, Run is different to all three of them. So it's
I've never
Run
heard
and
of Run,
Missing.
Actually.
Yeah. So Run's a direct is a sequel from is a standalone sequel to Searching, and it's very different in vibe. It's very different in the way it's done, but it's directed by the guy who originally directed Searching.
Oh, it's a Hulu original film.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's an interesting little collection of films, but I would recommend them. I enjoyed this one that I watched, at least, if anything missing. This is more in line with Searching, the one that you watched. So
definitely,
very much
yeah.
screen life. Would recommend that. So I wanted to give that a shout out. And it did well at the box office as well. $7 million budget, $48 million return in the budget on the
wow.
box office. Yeah, can't go wrong with that. So that's my spread of the arts for now.
I'm actually going to recommend the book I've been listening to, which is called Disrupting the... Now, I haven't finished it because when I got to work today and I was putting in my earbuds to do my prep work, my earbuds were dead. And that's... Ugh. Yeah. Talk about deflating my spirit. My earbuds were dead. I was like, no! So I haven't finished the book yet. I'm very close to it, and I was going to finish it today. But I really like Disrupting the Game by Reggie Fils-Aimé, whether you pick it up by book or by audio, because audio, you're going to hear Reggie. But what I enjoy about this is that it's a business insider. You get to know some inside things about Nintendo and some back and forth and that. But Reggie's starting to talk about ways of like how you can run a business, how you kind of run it as a manager, how you manage a business, and the lessons he learned. And the best segments, there's actually a segment in the books called the so what. Like he'll interrupt a story and say, the so what. And what I like about these segments is that every single story has a moral or a lesson that he deliberately wants to give you. So he'll just say a story of like, when I was doing a commercial, I did this, blah, blah, blah. And he says, the so what? So the lesson I learned in this time was this, blah, blah, blah. But he talks about his time at Panda Express, his time at Pizza Hut, at PNG, his tenure at Cornell. He talks about where he was in the ROTC, so that was really cool. But yeah, it's just like his whole life. But from what I can tell, because I haven't finished it yet, it doesn't really overstay its welcome. It's very brief history, and he makes it each story is deliberate because, like I said, he says there's a moral to the story, and I'm only going to tell you the stories that have a moral behind it. He even talks about his divorce in the book, so it doesn't hold back. So if you're interested, it is on Spotify Premium. So if you're on Spotify Premium, you have that. You have 15 hours of audiobooks. You know, check out Disrupting the Game by Reggie Fils-Aimé. I recommend it. It's a really good listen, especially if you like Reggie. So that's my recommendation.
That is quite he's an interesting figure because, like, I remember him when obviously the hype came with Reggie bursting on the scene. He became such a focal front piece for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how much do you really know about the man?
You know, yeah, it was really cool just learning about his history and like his family coming up from Haiti to the Bronx. It was really cool. No, it's a really good one. And I didn't even know about his time at Pizza Hut. Like how he was like the brand manager of Pizza Hut. So even talks about kicking ass and taking names line. Like he talks about that line. So
that took him to like that took him onto the map, and then he also became that you see those figures where it's like Phil Spencer or Andrew Wilson, etc. One of those figures where he was like the face of Nintendo, but he's like the face of this legendary Japanese company. And you know how like Nintendo works and all the mysteries and stuff. It's like it's quite interesting just to see his in that role,
bro,
and also his history as well.
And the book starts with him attending Mr. Iwata's funeral.
Oh, damn.
It starts with the funeral, and then it's like, well, how did I get this far? And then it goes back in time, and I'm like, bro, this is it's so well put together. Like, it's such a good story, and just to start with Iwata's funeral, I'm like,
man, this is crazy, dude. It's really
quite
cool.
Fitting as well of him to like start there as well, because like that's the culmination of his journey, because he was like so central to that Nintendo brand for all those like Iwata years, and then when Iwata died, it's like, you know, eventually he's gonna like, you know, sign off from Nintendo, Reggie, but it's like he was such an integral part of that period. Yeah, that is actually quite crazy. Great recommendation, that. And you mentioned it on Spotify as well, because obviously that's the other part of the arts as well.
Yeah.
Me and Adam were talking about as well. Because obviously, if you've been on social media, if you've been anywhere else, you'll have your Spotify wraps everywhere, literally appearing everywhere. If anyone has Strangecast in yours, you know, do let us know. We do want to see that. But I thought with Adam, because he loves music and he wrote me in subjects, I thought we'd talk about our rap for the year. I'm not on Wrapped. I don't like Spotify. I'm on Apple Music, but Apple Music has its own version.
Yes.
But Adam's got some interesting ones in his. Adam, who's your second played artist on your, by the way?
Me. It's me.
By the way, for context, listeners, like everyone was posting theirs, and I'm like, where's this mofo Adam? Like, why is he not posted? If there's one person in my life that I know who loves music, he should be posting his Spotify rap.
So embarrassed, like, dude.
Where's Adam? You just see me popping up with messages. I'm like, yo. I'm like, what's your Spotify rap like? And he sends me a picture, and you see he's in it. And I'm like,
ah. I'm like, when I got my Spotify rap, he's like, your number one song was your own song. I'm like, no. No, and it's like, your number two artist was you, stupid. I'm like, no.
It could be worse. As I said, you could have been in the 0.1% of fans that of yourself. Like, you know,
dude. Oh, I was so embarrassed, man. I was like, no. The rest of them I liked, like my other four artists. But like, I so overanalyze my music. Like, I put it on Spotify. I'm like, I could have done this better, could have done that better, and I'll repeat it. And I could have done this better. And it's like, by the way, you overanalyze yourself so much. You're your number two artist. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with me, dude? So yeah, my number two artist is Castagarden. I was like, no, I was too embarrassed to share it, so I didn't share it.
It's so great. You're on your own. That's amazing.
So stupid, dude.
Who else is in yours?
I was going to say, I did share my number one artist, which was an interesting one. I didn't realize I listened to this person this much. My number one artist has been Logic for 4 years at least. Like, Logic was in a number one spot for a long time. Logic wasn't in my number five at all. Like, he was not in my top five, which I was surprised, but it is what it is. But my number one artist was A-Bug, which is wild. A-Bug, who actually put me on his playlist for Wired Connection, and that's what made Wired Connection kind of like pop off a little bit. But A-Bug does a lot of like video gamey kawaii pop kind of stuff. It's very, very unique. But I gotta say, in terms of kawaii pop, A-Bug, beauty, absolute gem of a person. He's such a nice guy, but also like really good music. So he's got a lot of it. He grinds. He does a lot of music and he does a lot of collaborations. So A-Bug was my number one. What was your number one?
Yeah, so mine was very interesting. If you know anything about me, I listen to the same song repeatedly and the same musicians. My top, I had 265 total artists in my Apple Music that I listened to. And my top artist was none other than Zed, who became number one with 881 minutes. As I've spoken, I think we mentioned him on the last podcast.
Yeah,
we
mentioned him, yeah.
The last one, the one before that now, because Kylie's the one before.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about him there. He was 881 minutes. This is a guy who hasn't dropped his third album yet, but I think he promised to drop it in 2023 or something. I was like, where is this album, man? It's like, it's been I've been waiting like 8 years for this album. Come on. But yeah, he was number one on there.
Since I mentioned my number two, who's your number two, Adnan?
Number two, who stormed in at a very high pace, was Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like, literally, by the way, I haven't like listened to the Taylor Swift pretty much almost all of like this year, until like the last 2 months. She stomped to number two.
Well, it's funny to me that like, by the way, 4 out of the 5 top songs are my own songs. Super embarrassing, by the way. But the third number one song, like you were saying with Taylor Swift, the third number third song, which is it's got a long name, but it's a song by J Wolf. But I only just listened to this song like in the past month. Like this past month, and it's like, oh, it's your number 3. I'm like, what?
That's weird.
Unless but I've been listening to Eric Nam
and just played it on repeat.
I guess. But like I listened to Eric Nam way more. And Eric Nam wasn't even in my top 5 or in my top songs, which is super weird. That's point aside. But you were saying about Taylor Swift that like you haven't even like popped off until like late this year.
Yeah, I've now become a Swiftie at this point. I've like stormed in there as well. She's like 500, close to 500 minutes. It's not even like the Taylor's versions either, because we spoke about it before. It's like other songs, like Cruel Summer is my 4th played song. I have to like admit that. It's been other songs that she's done. In the top 15 that I have, Cruel Summer and Antihero were the 2 songs that popped up. Jeez. So it's like she's stormed up somehow in there, but that's crazy for her to even be in there. It's weird because even the top artists as well, for example, Paramore's number 4 for me. I love Paramore, anyone who's ever talked to me.
Yeah, I was about Paramore. To say, that's an obvious one. Yeah, my number 3 is obvious to me, yeah.
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 Well, it's funny that Post Malone's behind you. I also got a good laugh.
Yeah. Well, way to give it away. Like, yeah, no, but... Yeah,
Post Malone.
Yeah, number 3 is Post Malone for me, yeah. Which is, I listen to myself more than Post Malone. How does that happen? I'm a psychopath, dude. Oh my god, like it's
you're not a psychopath. By the way, cuz like let me just say this as well. So number 3 of mine is Girl in Red with 380 minutes. Jeez. A majority of that has been played from one song, which is Apartment 402.
Oh good. Yeah.
Like that's what basically does with my artists. They'll like come in there because I listen to the same song about 1,000 times because that's the kind of person I am. But yeah, I can see my top 15. Obviously, number 13 is Daughter.
Nice.
You gotta love Daughter. Nice. I always have to have Daughter in there. But yeah, I have some very interesting ones. Avicii's in there. Coldplay. Jesus
Wait,
Christ.
Is Daughter your number 4, you said?
No, Daughter's number 13 with 161 minutes. We got 15 shown on Apple Music. Got Paramore at number 4. Girl in Red number 3. Eminem at number 6. Kesha is at number 10. Or Kesha, Avicii, Fall Out Boy made it in there. So yeah, I have a very interesting selection. My top played song, by the way, top played song for the year, played 166 times by me, is from Zed, and it's from his True Colors album. It's called Paper Cup. That is my favorite song.
Oh yeah,
that is my favorite. I think that melody is like chef's kiss. The song,
damn,
everything. It's one of the best songs I've ever listened to. So that is in there. But yeah, there's some really deeply shameful things I'm not going to admit in here. I wanted to bring this topic up just to kind of embarrass ourselves a lot.
Like my number 4 and 5, I'm like 3 through 5. I'm like, I'm okay with like, yeah, I definitely listened to more. Like again, like 3 was Post Malone. Number 4 for me was Make Them Suffer, which is my favorite like metal band of all time. Mm. Love Make Them Suffer. And then number 5 for me was Sean Price. I love Sean Price. Like that made sense to me. But like, me to be number 2 and A-Bug to be number 1. That was, I love A-Bug. Like he's a great guy, but I just didn't realize I listened to A-Bug that much. Like I was like, yeah, number 1. Holy hell. Yeah, no, it was kind of wild. Super wild.
Yeah, I was dreading when I got mine, cuz even like Paramore, I don't like listen to their new stuff. I don't really like it, to be honest. It's all the old stuff. Well, I think yes, it's just because of like rotation. Like you would, I'm surprised you haven't popped up in here. Your music's in my library when I go for a run.
Oh,
musical play.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm surprised you didn't make it into the top 15, but actually you might have, like your hours might be spread out of mine because you're Adam Evil and also Cast Garden, so it's like they could have been like spread across two different artists. But yeah, it's an interesting one, like the Spotify like and Apple rap.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm trying to find on Spotify if I have if there's like more artists like past the 5, but I don't really see it. It's just
they don't
my
tell you the
podcast
on here on Apple Music. They just tell you just music.
Yeah, I can tell you my top 5 podcasts. My top five podcasts, actually, number one, Nintendo. Like, that's easy money. Easy money. Nintendo. I love that podcast, which it was ending this year because I thought you could relate to this a lot. So it's with Woodhawker and Bob Wolf. Bob Wolf is leaving at the end of the year to focus on other things. So Wood was just like, well, what do I do? Like, without Bob, like, there is no show. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be ending this this year, except I think I can announce this now because it was just for Patreons. So he's probably going to announce it by the time this episode comes out. So I'm going to say it anyway. Whatever. But not Wood is going to be hosting it himself. So,
oh
yeah. So that's nice. At least I get my Nintendo. But at the cost of not having Bob, because I love Bob. But anyways, so Nintendo's number one. Number two is CADcast, which I've been listening to CADcast for 10 years. Of course, it's going to be in my top five. Number three is the Wolf Den podcast with Bob Wolf and his brother, Will Wolf. So I like that podcast. Number four is Defining Duke, which is hosted by Mr. Matty Plays. And, I forgot the second guy's name. What is wrong with me? Lord Cognito. Bang, let's go. Mr. Matty Plays and Lord Cognito. Good Xbox show. Really good Xbox show. Hosted by Mr. Matty Plays. And my number five is What Are Your Three on the Channel 3 site. So that's cool. Yay.
Shameful. 50 minutes to plug Strange House. 54 minutes it was like to take. Somebody, and you didn't even mention it.
Somebody on Channel 3 mentioned that, like, listening to that show when Adam was like putting out all of his stuff, it was like a guy saying, like, hey, empty your weapons, and I just put up a dagger, and the guy goes, all of them, and I just, like, pull out all of the weapons, like, hey, I see here you were on Games and Groceries, like, yeah, I did a Games and Groceries. What's this? You did Adam Evil. This is not, what's this, Strange Cast? Like, yeah, it's just I have a lot of projects that are in the works right now. I'm sorry. It's like there's a lot of things I'm focusing on. No, so yeah, those are my top five podcasts. Nintendo, CADcast, Wolf Den, Defining Duke, and What Are Your Three?
That's really cool.
That's all a of good them gaming podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what, as well? I don't listen to podcasts, really.
I was surprised that Factually wasn't on my top five. I listened to a lot of that this year, but it didn't make it. Factually was is hosted by Adam Conover, who is I guess he's liberal. I guess so. But he kind of brings on, like, other guests of other standings. Like, he'll bring on a neuropsychologist and talk about, like, what's the psychology behind laughing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting one. But yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but my top five, of course, are gaming podcasts. So,
yeah, I didn't realize how much into podcasts people are. I've never really got into it, to be honest. I just don't really listen to podcasts. I spend more time on YouTube, if anything. That's why my destination is. I just watch YouTube videos. I love watching YouTube videos. Yeah, that's a interesting and nice selection. Let us know your top five, guys, if you are on Spotify, what you've been listening to podcast wise as well. Hopefully Strange Cast is in there, hopefully. Yes. And also Casting Gardens in your top artist playing as well, hopefully.
Ooh.
No,
maybe, but
maybe
yeah.
But anyway, we will wrap up here. As it is, Adam's music is out. Go and check it out on Spotify. You can get an early, you know, bleed yourself into 2024 and get him into your top artists very early on if you want. That's what I'm
trying
to do. Eight
people have me in their top five. So there you go. Well, you could be one of the eight. Could be you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. My hope is to get you in my top five next year above Taylor Swift. So that's my mission.
Above Taylor Swift. That would be wild.
Well, I'll get in there when you do Adam's version of your songs. That'll be when I get you in there. But anyway, we'll wrap up here. Thank you for joining us. If you are new here, one final time, please do consider dropping subscribe, turn on notifications, like the video, and shout your friends. Helps support the channel, helps keep up to date with the channel. And Strangecast is available on all podcast services, so check us out on Spotify with a video version, Apple Podcasts, we're on everything. And also, please do leave us a rating. It helps boost our visibility and keep and attract new people as well. One final message. Thank you so much for joining us in 2023. It's been one hell of a ride, as in Adam.
Considering that Jonathan Panetta was at the beginning of this year, and we felt that was last year. Yeah, it's been a wild year.
Yeah, that really did strike me then. I thought I was convinced we did the interview late last year with him. I think he reached out to me like late last year, and we arranged it for early 2023. But that's crazy. Yeah. That I've changed my life in some. I feel like so many changes that have happened in my life, and things happened in your life as well. Everything else, it's like it's been crazy, like nonstop. But yeah, thank you for joining us. It's been great having you here. Obviously, so much content we brought here. Hopefully, we bring a lot more next year and some more interesting topics. And you know, if we see Montreal's game, we can talk about all kinds of things as well. But thank you so much for the support. It's greatly appreciated. We know people who share, you know, comments on our videos. We react to them. We speak to you. It's been nice to talk people's names to faces and people interacting with us. So one final time, thank you so much. Enjoy your new year. Don't do anything we wouldn't do.
But yeah, enjoy the things I would do. Let's go.
All that.
USA.
All that. But yeah, thank you for joining us in 2023. We're signing off here. We'll see you in 2024. Have a great new year and take care. See you later, guys.
Peace.
Ready for the mosh pit, Shaka Brown.